Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Phimelo Modine. Thank you so much for being with us. And as always, you are very welcome to be a part of this conversation. And you can do that by dialing in on 086-00-00959. Or you can send voice notes on 063-688-0959. We've been on the story for a while, but sometimes it's important to stay on a story, especially. And I did say for a while now that it's a developing story. So we are going to have to kind of go with it as it goes and as it grows its legs, because I don't think we are at the end of it. But it's obviously the story at Stilfontein and what's happening at the mine there. We've had reporters that keep giving us information, but we also have to speak to principal actors in this particular story. So you remember that there was a court case that was brought forward by the Society for the Protection of Human Rights, and they had particular things that they wanted the court to pass a judgment on. And the respondents were government. It was COCTA, it was the Department of Health, it was the police, and so on. And so what we need to understand about this particular court case is, what is it that the applicants were asking the court to do? All right, there was an interim order at some point, but then the actual final order was granted. Not granted, but the application, the judgment was passed. So we need to ask ourselves, what is it that this judgment says? What is it that they had asked the court to review or look into, and how we found ourselves here? We'll also then speak to the relevant people. We'll speak to MEC of Safety, who is actually the person who currently, as we speak, is managing the so-called rescue mission. So the Minister of Police had actually asked him to be the person to manage this entire process and sort of be the person who is at the forefront of what's happening. They are at phase two of the rescue mission. So we'll speak to the MEC of Community Safety in the Northwest. We'll also speak to the applicants of this court case. And we'll also speak to DMRE. We have not spoken to DMRE before, so this is going to be a very, very interesting. So let's get to it. Our very trusted legal expert is the person who's going to help us understand what this applicant was asking the court to do. Legal expert Mpumelelo Zikalala is on the line with us. Thank you so much, Mpumelelo, for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you, and also good evening to your listeners.
Okay. Let's just perhaps go to this particular order and explain what is it that the applicant in this regard was asking for the court to do.
Maybe let's start with the interim order, which was granted. Remember, when you go to court on an urgent basis, it's basically for that particular time, or for lack of a better word, one-sided. There's one party that says, court, I need your intervention here. My rights are being infringed. I'm going to suffer irreparable harm. There are no other alternative to dispute is alternative rather than coming to court. And on a balance of probabilities, I'm probably going to win. Then the court would grant that interim order depending on what each party is required. Now, in this case, that interim order simply said, don't block any intervention that is there. Do your job in a manner in which you are supposed to do your job without any interference of anybody else. There's no harm to anyone. The police are going to do what they need to do. Emergency individuals will do what they need to do. If they are called, they will come, assess whether it's safe to go into the mine, and then extract whatever they need to extract. It's all within the bounds of their duties or their job descriptions. Now,
Hold on. I just want to understand, in that interim order, so I understand that, you know, if the emergency personnel were to come and assist, they were supposed to be allowed to do that, so that's fine. Did it actually say anything about the involvement of the community?
As far as my recollection, no. It simply was, it was the individual that are supposed to do or provide some type of intervention or some type of help. So you are talking about the police, you are talking about emergency services, or any other individual that will be regarded as an expert in a life-saving mission, or just to ensure that there are no lives that are going to be lost. When it comes to the community, because ordinarily the community will not be involved in situations such as these ones, I do not think that they would have sought such an order. I do not think that they would have wanted such an order to be there, except if the community is there to provide your ordinary relief. But that relief must be curtailed, because it cannot then be relief when it is going to be said, we are bringing them food, we are bringing them medicine, if I'm not a designated individual that is supposed to do that.
Okay.
What I think took place, though, in actuality was an instance of saying, because there's an order which is similar to this one, I'm now forced as the police, for example, to stick to my lane and simply provide what I need to provide and not to do anything which is going to hamper any other thing linked to that. Then I'm going to stay put and simply focus on what I need to focus on and nothing else. So that is why maybe you would have found members of the community maybe going an extra mile in terms of providing whatever assistance which was required. But what I think the various institutions were doing were saying, we are going to comply with the interim order, but when we've got all our ducks in a row, we've done our research, we've got people that are going to represent us in court, we've got people that will be able to draft proper replying papers in which will then say, this is what we are stating. We as the police are simply doing our job, and we're not going to be dictated to by certain individuals that have broken the law, that do not want to be arrested or want to be arrested on their own terms. All that we're going to do is we're going to enforce what the Constitution has given us powers to do. If you want us to negate or to draw away from those, provide compelling reasons in order for you to do so, if the answer is yes, there are those compelling reasons, then we'll simply comply. But in all of this, what is mostly important is the preservation and the protection of life. And if letting things be as they are now is going to cause life to be lost, then definitely we need to intervene, we need to go in there and provide our services in the best way we know how. Which is why I wasn't surprised when the final order was then issued to say, we cannot issue a blanket ruling or blanket prohibition that says police cannot be involved. We cannot issue a blanket ruling that says police cannot be able to exercise their duties in the manner in which they need to exercise them. Because no matter how we want to look at it, at the end of the day, the people that are there are alleged to have engaged in criminal activities, and they need to be brought to book, and they need to account and go in a proper forum where they will be able to plead their innocence or to prove, or the state to prove that they are indeed guilty.
Except there is somewhere where the judge does point to the fact that, you know, how you frame it, you still have to allow a process to criminally charge a person before you deem them a crime, a criminal.
It's correct in that particular sense, and that process would be, because I cannot go down and arrest you in that mine hole, I'm going to wait up until you get outside, and once you are outside, I'm going to process you in the best way that I know how. It's not me as a police who's going to determine your innocence or guilt. There is a judge or there's a magistrate who's going to do that. My job is to make sure that I'm able to follow the process from A to Z so that you end up in that particular situation. Remember, when I do those activities or my duties, I do so within the bounds of the Criminal Procedure Act, and that would allow me to provide certain force, that will provide allow me to act in a certain manner in order for me to effect the arrest that I need to do at that particular point in time. If I'm effecting that arrest and there are medical conditions that need to be taken care of, the law is very clear in terms of what to do. The law is very clear in terms of medical assistance, which is required. I also have been given powers in order to exercise mechanisms. If I can see that you do not want to cooperate with me, so that I can make sure that you are able to comply with minimum force, by the way.
So, you know, based on the response by the defendant, in this case, the government, you are not surprised by this order?
Not at all, because it would have meant for a lack of a better explanation. You are then negotiating with people that have allegedly transgressed the law. I can't have people which are going to go into my house, and then when I need to take them out, it's a negotiation process which is taking place, and there are certain demands that need to be met before they get out. The fact of the matter is, you have individuals that were not supposed to be there. Whether the reasons of why they are there economically is sound or not, politically is sound or not, but purely looking from a legal aspect or a legal point of view, they are not supposed to be there. They have transgressed. they are prohibited in terms of being in the place in which they're in now. Whatever activities that they're engaging in or allegedly engaging in are activities which are not allowed as per the law. If there's any certain instances of coercion that have been there or duress, that can be explained in a proper forum. All that is needs to happen now is the proper process of being arrested, going to court, providing your defense, and if that defense is valid enough, then they will give you the type of order which you're looking for, and you're going to be let go. But we cannot negotiate in these type of instances. The only negotiation which can be allowed is a negotiation which is going to say, I want to save your life so that at the end of the day you are able to go through this and still you are alive. The last thing that I want, even as government or other people that are involved in this case, is people that are going to die, and they die in conditions such as the ones in which they've been found in.
I want to leave it there. Thank you very, very much for all of that clarity. Legal expert Mpumelelo Zikalala. And then we have on the line with us Yasmin Omar, who is a legal representative from the Society for the Protection of Our Constitution. Now, you may remember that they were the applicants in this case. So thank you very much, Yasmin, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having me.
Just your reaction to the judgment today.
Well, as you well know now, the judge dismissed the application. Mm. But you remember when we pursued this application on an urgent basis last week, we did so against the backdrop of the state organs of government, particularly the minister in the presidency, indicating that government had taken this very harsh stance on the people on the ground, and that the Operation Valam Godi embraced no assistance being given to people on the ground. That means they would be kept there without any food or water or any assistance from government. And this was done in an attempt to flush them out so that they could be arrested.
And so, go ahead.
Yes. So when the matter went to court on Saturday last week, that the court was only faced with our papers. It was just the African state is saying, but we are concerned. You've got people on the ground. You say you're not going to give assistance, and people are going to die. According to the numbers given to us, they are large numbers, and we don't think that this is the right way of policing because it infringes rights of people on the ground, you know, various basic human rights.
So just to make the point, yes, is that a lot actually happens between when the minister in the presidency pronounces that we're going to smoke them out and you subsequently making the application and subsequently the government responding. A lot happens in that time, in the sense that what you then see in the government's response is not quite the stance that the ministry had, you know, sort of had its position when we were hearing that press briefing. Of course, it was not in writing, but there was a shift quite some since the time she makes a pronouncement and when they respond to the papers.
Absolutely, an absolute about turn for what government originally stood for. Because you'll remember when that announcement was made initially, all the state organs joined in with this. Nobody distanced themselves and said, look, we're not going to implement it in that fashion. Mm. Everybody was in agreement. But what happened was after the application was launched and answering papers had to be done, it was only after that application was put in place, then the aid went to the people. You know, there was the food started being distributed and plans were being made for rescue efforts to bring the people up. So it is that about turn that persuaded the court that there was enough being done, that the application didn't need to be granted. So you'll remember when the applicant went to court, he just asked for very simple relief. He said, you know, the people that you've got down there, just give them the basic human relief, the humanitarian aid, like food and water, and medical medicines and medication, and help get them out of there. So at the stage that we pursued it, government was still of the stance that we're not going to do this. But after that, when we believe it was because of the pressure of the court proceedings and the public scrutiny of the matter, government did make an about turn and they changed their stance in the action without voicing it or without necessarily distancing themselves from the original harsh stance. They began providing this aid. That is why when the court dealt with the matter in the days that ensued after that, the court was faced with a situation where government was not providing the food, was providing the water, providing the humanitarian aid. And the court said, well, you know, if all of this is being done, there's no basis for the applicant, the society, to come and criticize government as to how they're doing it. And that was never the applicant's case. The applicant's case was never that we're criticizing how you're going about doing it. Just the fact that the basic care needed to be given if you're going to detain people like that was the applicant's case. So it doesn't, the final order saying that the application is dismissed is really academic in view of the fact that the aid is now being given to the people, contrary to what government initially said that prompted that application.
Does the applicant, though, concede that they really, according to the court, there was no blockage of entry or exits? There was just, you know, the police standing by waiting for the miners to come up, and then they'll then do what they need to do.
No, I think we are not in agreement with that there was no blockage. And our version is confirmed by a host of people who are on the ground, including complaints laid to the South African Human Rights Commission, including the political parties involved, the trade unions that were involved. All of them confirmed that there was a blockage. And when the court ordered, uplift that block and don't block the entries, the police didn't interpret that as a need to uplift it. They carried on their hold on the entrances. Now, I have to say, if government's policy was Vala Mgodi and close the hole, it is really wouldn't facilitate the ends to say we close this hole, but the others are being left open. The other thing is, we must also understand what kind of environment we're talking about. To close those holes, the applicant said, the police removed all of the equipment that had been installed by the miners and the community to gain access in and out of that mine. It's not a situation where the miners could just walk out. They need assistance to be pulled out. They must be pulled out of their mind. It's not a matter of walking out.
So, I mean, what would have ideally the applicant would have wanted to see happen in a scenario where the conduct of the miners, of whatever it is that they're doing underneath there, even though it's not gone through a court, is in itself illegal? And you know, at some point, somebody's got to put a stop to it. What would have the applicant like to see happen?
Well, look, the application was never to circumvent the police doing their work. The applicant's attitude was always the police must do their work. What we just didn't want to happen was without us bringing this application that people die underground. We've already been through a horrific past where starvation style tactics were employed on people. We've already been through the massacre at Marikana. We've already gone to the to the International Court of Justice and told them stop starvation tactics on the people in Palestine. So the reason this application was brought to court was we don't want people dying underground in this fashion. It doesn't matter how justified the government may feel in stopping illegal mining, but it shouldn't be.
And currently, then how then does the applicant, you know, view the fact that you have some people who are coming up, meaning that process was allowed, the exit point is there for them to leave if and when they want to leave? How does the applicant then respond to that? Because if some people are able to come up, it means that the possibility of leaving is still there.
Well, look, remember, those sites are closed to everybody, and it's just the police that are there. And they've told the court in their papers that they are engaged in rescue operations now from Monday last week. So it's not to say that it was unexpected. They said they're commencing an operation to rescue people, and we accept that that's what they're doing. On that basis, the court dismissed the application, saying that you are making efforts to rescue the people. You must remember, all along, the case of the state respondents has been that it is impossible to easily access in and out of that mine. They need expert people to go in there, expert people to construct a cage to drop it in there so people can be put into the cage and brought up. So how people who have come out now have come out, the police must tell us. As we understood, the 1,000 and so and odd people who were taken out at the time that they prior to the application being moved was done by the community. They put the rope infrastructure there, and they pulled out those people with ropes. So that was that police system, which you may have seen on TV, where there's like 40 men pulling on using a police system pulling out people. That was the community who pulled them out.
Yes, but that's exactly the point. The community were allowed to pull people out. In other words, yes. There was, you know, nobody stopped them from coming up.
No, but they did stop them. That's where you may not have been properly advised. That was one of the complaints that the community had, and it was canvassed in our faces. In that, when the police stopped the community access, they pulled out those road structures from inside that was going down into the shaft. And that's why people couldn't get out. They were trapped under there because the pulley system was pulled out.
Yeah. Yasmin, I'm still not sure I understand, because in the interim, people have been coming out without the process of being aided by the police, because the police are still, they've been going through the process of assessment and all of that. And they have committed to a rescue mission, except that had not kicked in yet. So what has been happening in the meantime? People have been coming out of their own will.
So I'd like to know, why did the police not clarify how did the people come out? Because there's no way to pull those people out. It's 2 kilometers deep. They can't come out without that rope structure.
So what are they telling you? Because you, as the applicant, are in touch with the miners who are giving random interviews, but they can tell you, which means you can tell us how they've been coming out.
We are not in touch with the people they say they pulled out. Those people who were allegedly pulled taken out, who came out or pulled out, were immediately taken to custody and have been are now in the control of the police.
Not everybody.
We haven't spoken to them.
Not everybody. There are people who are out who are not in custody.
Yeah, no, we've not communicated with any of them.
All right.
So, I mean, it would have been a simple thing to simply say, how did they come out? If the police saw it, the police were on guard. And according to them, they've been on guard 24/7. So if they say they just managed to walk out, then, you know, that is one factor. But you must also remember, mine is not one big room, not one big flat room where miners can just walk out. There are different sections to this mine. Originally, when the police told us Margaret Shaft is open, the client and we told the court this. My client said that where the people are, the bulk of the people are, and where Margaret Shaft is, the exit point is, it's like a 15-kilometer stretch, and it is not a smooth, just like a cleared path where you can just stand upright and walk. It's a narrow little tunnel that is built, and people must crawl through it. And if people haven't eaten for days or weeks and they are weakened, they won't make that 15-kilometer crawl to Margaret Shaft.
Is this the end of the road now for you as the Society for the Protection of Our Constitution? You obviously are going to abide by the court order and ruling and observe, I suppose, what's happening now going forward.
Yes. Look, well, materially, the society has got what it... it was looking for, in that government is now carrying out the rescue mission, is providing the food and water while they are supposed to be doing it. So we'll monitor that and ensure that is good, that is being complied with, because that's the basis upon which the court dismissed the application, saying that this was being done already by government.
Legal representative from the Society for the Protection of Our Constitution, Yasmin Omar, thanks very much for your time. MEC for Community Safety and Transport Management in the Northwest Wessels Mureng is on the line listening in to that conversation that we've just had with Yasmin Omar. But a quick call coming through to respond to that is Jablani Inzola. Good evening and welcome, Jablani.
Good evening.
Konujan Putwa.
How can a country that has a constitution be run by a criminal, foreign criminal? Mm. Because this woman, she's saying she's protecting the constitution. Which constitution? Because the constitution is straight. If someone is a foreign and is here illegally, it needs to be arrested or deported. It's the same applies as those criminals. We cannot be controlled by criminals, because criminals will ambush you there at KFM and say, no, we want to negotiate, we want water, we want what. criminals. We don't negotiate with criminals. Foreign especially, they are here illegally. So they need to be arrested. They need to be punished harshly.
That's Shabalani Nzola, MEC for Community Safety and Transport Management in the Northwest Wessels Moroeng. We've spoken to him before. MEC, thanks again for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Let me take this opportune moment to greet you and greet our listeners at home.
MEC, the last time we spoke, you had just started this operation that was led and directed by the Minister of Police, putting you at the helm of a rescue mission. So much has happened since. We now have obviously a court ruling that said, you know, they're dismissing the application by the Society for the Protection of Our Constitution. Maybe let's start there and get your reaction to that judgment.
A very progressive judgment that vindicates us. Because there's been other people in the society that wanted to paint us as the people that do not care, that want to commit genocide and all that. To a certain degree, they accused the police rather of blocking people and all that. So the court judgment is very progressive. It's on the side of the law. It's on the side of the people. It's a relief to us as government. This will enable the police to continue with their quest to arrest the illegal miners. There have been many illegally in our country, whom majority of them, they are illegal, undocumented foreigners that came into our country through illegal means, coming to mine illegally, not only mining illegally, but also terrorizing our communities. There are many case studies to that effect. So we welcome that court order, and then to really assist the police to can continue in making sure that we deal with this thing of illegal mining in the area of Tlaxo and in the Northwest in its entirety.
Give us the numbers of the people that you've arrested that have come up. I know it's over 1,000. How many of those were foreign?
Okay. Yeah. Mozambican is 871. And then undocumented Lesotho nationals is 33. Zimbabwe is 343. And then we've got one Malawian. And we've got 10 South Africans from that number. So we're still waiting patiently to the claims that the South Africans, the people have indicated that their sons, their daughters are there underground. We still want to see, because 98% of these people are undocumented foreign nationals. So the countries, from the countries that I've just mentioned to you, Mozambique 871, Lesotho 233, Zimbabwe 343, Malawi 1, and 10 South African. And then that one decomposed body, which the autopsy is indicating to us that the person died before this operation could be intensified. The way it has been intensified, meaning the death of that person can be attributed to the fact that as part of our plans to exhume this miner, we denied an access of food and water, as the lady that we have just interviewed has been claiming, and they've been spreading that narrative in the society.
What have you learned from all of this? Because as you and I spoke the last time, it became a bit difficult to prosecute some of these people because of logistics and other little mistakes. What have you learned from that process?
I think we've got a very good justice system, and I've got confidence in our justice system, where the role of the police has always been to arrest as they are charged the responsibility by the constitution, and then we must applaud them to this end. Now, the justice system, there is a manner in which they operate, and they treat each case according to its own merit. And I mean, out of those numbers of 1,200 of illegal miners that resurface right now, there are those that the police have been looking for them. Such cases will be treated according to their own merit. There are those that could have committed other crimes. There are those that can be linked to other crimes. There are those that have been released on when they are going to come back. So I also want to discuss the motion.
MEC, I'm not sure if you're moving. We are starting to lose you. MEC?
Can you hear me?
No, we can't. I think you're moving around, MEC. So we're starting to lose you.
Can you hear me now?
It's much better. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm saying each and every person who has been exhumed beneath the mine that person has been charged. There was a notion in the society that the people have been released without being charged. Each and everyone has been charged. And like I indicated, I've got confidence in our justice system. We need to give them space. There's a manner in which they're working. But also the police are working very hard to make sure that there are watertight cases that can be able to stand prosecution.
So, MEC, what are you charging them with? Because as far as I understand, you're probably only charging them with trespassing.
No, not trespassing. Firstly, to transgress.
Sorry, repeat that, please, MEC.
Firstly, you charge them with transgressing the Illegal Immigration Act of South Africa because they're in the country unlawfully. And then two, to mine illegally without presenting the relevant licenses. Three, there are a lot of materials that we have found as part of this operation, illegal guns. You can think of all the materials they had at their disposal. So the police will be able to process that. But I can assure you.
But the police told us, MEC, when we spoke to the police, that they can't charge many of these because they fine them with nothing. So some of them who are coming out know the police are at the foot, and they know that they're going to be charged with possession of, you know, illegal materials and so on. And so they don't bring up those things. They leave them down there. So in effect, the police can't charge them with that.
Look, the process has not been completed. Remember, we're still going to embark on a process of taking the lift beneath the ground. You must remember, this process did not only start now with the resurfacing of these huge numbers that managed to resurface. Operation Valumgodi has been there, and there's been collection of evidence. That is what I'm saying. Others will be linked to other cases. I can tell you, ever since this operation started in the Northwest, we have managed to confiscate more than 10,000 illegal firearms. So people must understand that we didn't start this operation with the current one that is currently happening in Stilfontein. This operation has always been there, and we have been confiscating this illegal materials from these people. So we will be able to link them to other criminal crimes that they have committed, and also to the illegal mining.
MEC for Community Safety and Transport Management in the Northwest, Wessels Moreng. Thank you so much for that. Spokesperson for the Department of Minerals, Resources and Energy, Makhosonke Buthelezi, is also on the line with us. Thank you so much, Mr. Buthelezi, for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you and your listeners.
Well, we're really pleased to have you on the line, and we just want to ask you, specifically, we'll stay on this particular story here with the Stilfontein mine. Just, you know, how much do we know as the MRE about the last owner of this particular mine?
We do know the owner exists of the mine to Stilfontein as the company, and we know that they are there, they exist, and we've been in contact with them.
And, you know, have they transgressed any laws?
They were supposed to, they were in the process of closing the mine since they stopped operations. And once they've closed the mine, then we issue them with a mine closure certificate.
So when were they attempting to close this mine?
Well, this one, if you look at it, this particular shaft, if you noticed, they would have closed this one because it does have some concrete slab on it, which that it was blown up. So this particular shaft, our feeling is that they would have closed this one. They've got other shafts around the area.
Yeah, but the fact that they were not given the mine closure certificate means that that process was not completed.
Not on this particular shaft, but on the other ones, generally they have to close other shafts and then we issue them with the mine closure certificate.
Were they also not responsible then for securing the site until everything is completed?
Well, once they have closed the shaft and it's all done, and they don't bear the responsibility to secure it.
Yeah, but again, you have requirements as the MRE for a complete closure. And as far as I understand it, a slab alone is not enough. There is supposed to be a complete process of rehabilitation and so on before you give them the certificate, which is why you hadn't done that. So at this point, they hadn't finished their job as a mine to qualify for you to give them the certificate of closure.
Now, this one, like I said, it looks like it was opened forcefully by the illegal miners. So where they haven't closed, they have the responsibility to obviously secure the mine. And I must indicate that in some instances, the illegal miners are actually slowing the progress. They get interfere and interrupt some of these activities where the mine owners need to close the mine and the illegal miners get in and open and interrupt those activities.
Are we honestly going to be allowing the mine company to tell us that they were interrupted by illegal miners? Of course they are, but it's their job to manage all of that. That's exactly what they need to do.
No, true, and it's our job to make sure that they do that. It's not that we allow them to tell us that they are being interrupted by illegal miners. But the reality is that we have seen it even in other places where there's illegal mining activities interrupting. I mean, they even interrupt us when we close the derelict and ownerless mines, which is an operandi of the illegal miners. So we know that these things happen when we try to close abandoned mines.
Mr. Buthelezi, I'm surprised. I'm absolutely surprised by your very easy approach on how a mine company just feels helpless. And we must understand that, yes, they're illegal miners. Every sector of business has got difficulties that they must manage. This is part of what they need to manage. Why are we understanding of the challenges of the sector? Because it's exactly part of the game.
No. It's not the understanding of the sector that, we understand that they are being interrupted by illegal miners. We are merely stating that some of the impediments that are out there, it is the activities of the illegal miners. And we are not letting them scot-free, by the way, since we know that there's illegal mining, we will go soft on you, we won't be hard on you. No, that is not the case, because ultimately, it is our responsibility to make sure that they stick to the terms of their contract. Once the mine operation ceases, they have to close those mines.
So what are we doing about this particular mine owner who obviously had not completed this process?
So this particular mine owner, the first thing that they are involved in the mining rescue operations, as you know, the ongoing mining and rescue operations, mm-hmm. they are part of that. And obviously we are looking at them. Once the operations have been done, they must fast track the process of closing those holes.
And that's it? No other, you're saying you're hard on them. How are you hard on them?
We are going to force them to close those holes as it is required by the law. They need to close all those holes that they are obliged in terms of the law to close them.
They didn't. Are we going to fine them at least?
We are going to force them to close all those mines that are still open.
And that's it, Mr. Buthelezi. That's all. We just asked them to close the mine. That's it. They transgress. We find ourselves here. And all we're just asking them to close the mine. That's it.
No, they are obliged to close the mine as they are mining obligations. And that is why the department is hard at them, because they've been closing these other mines. This, by the way, is not the only mine or shaft or hauling that they've been involved in filling. They've been filling other ones, and we are going to force them to expedite the process of closing these ones and the other ones if there are still others that are outstanding.
How do you force someone who hasn't done what he was supposed to do in the first place? Because they didn't do it. So how? That's exactly the point I'm asking. You are asking them to close. How are you going to enforce them to close the mine? Because if you're just asking them and they just do what they continue that they've been doing. What, and you're not even fining them. I'm not hearing any other measures that are going to be taken to force them to close this mine.
They have been closing these other ones, right?
Okay.
We have forced them to close these other ones that they also have.
Mr. Mtelezi, right? I just ask this question? Are you going to have the same attitude towards the miners? Are you going to have the same attitude towards the guys that are going to come up to say, okay, we see that you only stole 2 grams, or we see that you only stole in this mine, we see that you are not stealing another mine, so it's okay, stop stealing. Is that how we're going to approach all the illegalities in relation to what's happening now?
No, the illegality are dealt with differently. We are talking about the owners of the mine that they are supposed to close the mine.
And we don't see that miners, abandonment as illegal.
We see the abandonment as illegal, and that is why I'm saying to you, they have closed these other mines, these other holes, and that is why we are holding them accountable for even this one. And why am I saying that, Timelo? According to the Mine Health and Safety, they are obliged, if a rock falls in an operating mine, right? The miner has an obligation in an operating mine. The miner has an obligation to get the mining rescue services to come in and rescue those trapped miners in an operating mine. Now, even in this one, even though it is not an operating mine, but we have forced and forced, they would have turned around and said, we did not send the illegal miners down, but we said, this is your mine, you are responsible for it, then you shall come to the table and assist in the rescue operations, and you shall pay for these services. That is why we are not being soft on them, and that's how we are pushing them to come to the party so that they can be part of the rescue services and make sure that everybody comes out alive.
The attitude, and I'm sorry to be adamant on this one, they're not doing us a favor, Mr. Mtelezi. They have transgressed.
Exactly.
But this idea that they're coming to the party to assist, they're not assisting. They transgress the law. It's illegal what they've done. And you're still not telling me how are we going to hold them accountable. You're telling me about the assistance. It's not the same as holding them accountable, either prosecuting them or forcing them to pay for getting us here in the first place.
They were in the process of closing the mine as it is required by the law.
But they didn't finish, Mr. Mtelezi. We can't talk about an idea that was not completed, and we know for a fact, the facts before us are that that didn't happen. The facts before us are that we find ourselves here, and if they had done their job, we wouldn't be here.
But wait, Timelo, how do we know that?
Because we have illegal miners that have taken charge of a mine that they were supposed to protecting. If they did their job, they would have handed... Okay, let me look at it in a different way. If they had done their job, you, as DMRE, would have already given them a certificate. You didn't, because that was not done.
Let's talk about this particular mine. Let's talk about this shaft.
Mm-hmm.
They have closed this shaft, right? And the illegal miners blew it open, right? They need to close all their shafts, and then we issue them with the certificate, mine closure certificate.
Why are
now,
you satisfied
you focus,
with one shaft being sealed with a cement? And you know very well that the requirements that you guys have is not to put a cement on it. Your requirements are much more stringent. And so you know the reason the illegal miners were able to blow it up is because the proper procedures were not taken to properly close it. And you know that. Those are your requirements.
No, mine shows that it takes it different from you seal the mine, you seal the shaft.
Yes.
And that's what we also do, Pimel.
Yes, but that wasn't done.
Open.
That wasn't done.
No, but this one was done.
But
and
the,
that
one
is why
shaft
you see
is
the
not the mine.
Left.
One shaft is
no,
not a mine.
Not the shaft, yes. That's why we have not issued them with the mine closure certificate, because they need to close all the shafts.
Yes,
sir. Yes.
So, Mr. Mtelezi, agree. We do agree. They were busy closing the shafts and completing all that process. What you and I agree on is that that wasn't done. It wasn't completed because they were only supposed to walk away after you had issued a certificate, which was not the case. And therefore, we can't say they had done it and then someone else, because it's their responsibility while they're still there. It's their responsibility to secure it. It's their responsibility to give you a finished product. It wasn't done.
But they were in the process.
Yes.
That is what I'm trying to understand. I mean, if you build, you are given 50 houses to build, you build half of them, you have not finished the project until you have built all of them.
Yes.
But you have built some of the houses.
Yes.
Somebody breaks in, you've built some of the houses. It is the case even this one. They've closed this particular shaft. They had to close all the shaft, and we say we are happy we issued with them with a mine closure certificate for all the shafts that they have ceased operations from. And the issue of putting concrete slab and doing other things, we also do that when we seal the shaft. We've done that in Rivoli. We have closed the shaft, we have closed the holding, and illegal miners came and opened them.
Yes.
So that's what we are saying. We are holding accountable. We are holding accountable that they should close all the shafts that they operate. Then we can issue with the mine with the closure certificate once they have done all the job.
And in the meantime, we're just going to ask them to please do it. That's it. We're not looking at this as a person or an entity that has transgressed, because here's the thing. If they were still busy, they still had the responsibility to make sure that they managed that process. And clearly, in my view, and you can attest to that, it wasn't managed properly because they were able to do parts of it. But in the end, illegal miners came and were even given the space to blow up a portion of the slab. So if the job was done and they were still doing it, I expect someone who's still busy with a job to still secure the job. But that's not what happened.
So let's say they are working on, because these things take long, right? They are working on shaft number 11. They seal it. They have now to move on to the next shaft because they are done here. And illegal miners come and blow up shaft number 11 where they have been working. And they have started on another hole. Now, that presents, in my view, that presents a problem because it means they cannot progress fast enough so that they can ultimately get the closure certificate.
So are they supposed to be securing the space?
Some do. They secure this place, but once they have closed, during the time, and this is what we do as well, during the time when we close these abandoned mines, we close them, we seal them. Then we move on to the next one. Then, and remember, these shafts may not necessarily be in the same place. And what we have also done in this abandoned mine is that we also enlist the help of the SAPS, who will then go and patrol where we have sealed because of the fact that illegal miners come and open and blow them up.
Why are we using our own resources? Why are the police and yourselves getting involved in a job that should be done by a commercial entity that has earned money to do this and has said they will do their job to close off a mine? Why are we getting involved? They, in the current operations that they have in other places, they use private security, don't they? They have earned from this mine and they are obligated to hand over a complete project. Why are we, as the public, as government, why are you helping them do it?
No, we're not helping them. You're not hearing me. I'm making an example of the mines that we have filled.
And that's understood, yes. I get
yes,
it.
In the...
But
so
you
in
see...
this instance...
Exactly,
in
Mr. Puteles.
Yeah.
You, as the owners and the custodians of mines that you are managing to protect, those which have been abandoned and so on, you do enlist the services of the police, because the police are part of government, which is exactly what we do. But I'm failing to understand why those who are commercially vested in that particular project don't do that. Why don't they get security? Because they can do that in an operating mine.
So we it's something we don't know if they didn't get security. We don't know if they secured the mine and maybe illegal miners came and fired shot at them. You and I don't know that.
But we know that if they wanted to protect a site like an operating mine, they're very good at protecting it.
An operating mine, they do spend resources on it.
Yes.
They do protect it. We wouldn't, on this one, you and I are not in a position to know for sure.
We know for sure that the illegal miners came in. We know for sure. You and I know that for sure. That illegal operations are happening, and we also know that someone was supposed to be responsible for that place, and that person just walked.
We know that illegal miners have blown up a mine that was built and started with the illegal operations.
Appreciate you giving us your time. Yeah.
Let
me give you the last word. You were saying something, Mr. Patilis?
No, I'll end there. Thank you.
All right. I appreciate your time. The spokesperson of the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, Makosonke Butelezi there. Let me take your calls on 086-000-0959.
These are stories you need to know today.
Police have revealed that among a group of illegal miners arrested in Stilfontein...
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.